Football Elite NFL Draft Special. I am Chef Vance. Find my work over at FantasyGuru.com, EliteFantasy.com, GuruElite.com as well. Here with my boy, Russell Clay. The Russell Clay at this time of year, because I don't know if this is better than Christmas, Easter, Kwanzaa, birthdays, 4th of July, everything wrapped into one for one. Russell Clay, what's up, my man?
Oh, man, this is a great time of the year for me. Not only is the NFL draft here, but I'm getting compared to Mario Lopez on the Morning Guru Show. So things are coming up, Russ, right now.
This is your time of year, baby. Everyone's got to have it. And all that work. So what we're going to do today, folks, this is going to be a two-part podcast. We're going to make it free. Those of you who are off-season subscribers over at FantasyGuru.com, you get Russell's input, my input as well, article-wise, special pods, things that we're doing. We're going to do a lot of NFL draft coverage over at the site, so hopefully you guys will check us out over there at FantasyGuru.com. But if you're not familiar, we want to tell you, I am normally such like so balls deep in NFL coverage during the college football season, Russ, that I follow it. I love Saturday college football, don't get me wrong. But I just don't – I can't watch as much tape. I can't seek individuals out as much as I would like to. But, man, you sure do, and you do a great job for us at Fantasy Guru. And you're obviously a big-time college football fan. Great. You got that scout's eye, which I really appreciate too. Talk a little bit about your love of college ball.
Yeah, I love college football, and I appreciate the kind words. I think – one of the biggest advantages is, you know, I did college football DFS, and, you know, I was breaking down slates and watching Memphis on Thursday night and doing all these crazy things with college football during the year that, you know, it comes draft time. And I have a lot of context on these players and what the situations were because, you know, people are going to get mad if I don't know that stuff during the year. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and you know, I appreciate the opportunity to have the platform to give all my egregious amount of rookie information, but you guys appreciate it. So
they sure do, man. And we do it over at Fantasy Guru as well. So what we're going to do is Russ and I are going to do a little mock draft / team by team analysis. We're going to go through the first round in order of the first round. All right. And we'll talk about positions. We'll talk about scarcity. We'll talk about abundance of talent. We'll talk about the right and wrong ways to build a team through the draft, in our opinion. We'll talk about the fantasy implication here as well. So we're going to cover a lot of bases. Today, this is part one of Fantasy Football Elite's NFL Draft Special. We'll do a part two coming up here soon. And we're going to go 1 through 16 today. We'll do 17 through 32. Now, some of those, obviously, teams will repeat. Some teams don't have first-round selections. I think we're talking, Russ, Chicago, Dallas, New Orleans, no first-round selection. So they'll get thrown into the maybe pile in part two. So that's how we're breaking this down today. Let's start out with the team that's already on the clock in round one. That's the Arizona Cardinals. You and I just so happened both in Arizona. So a little in our backyard. It's not egregious that, you know, we're both here in the sunshine, and then the Cardinals get the first pick. Now, what do you think? This has to begin the conversation with quarterbacks and this year's quarterback class. I feel like sometimes teams want college quarterbacks to be prolific, to be the saviors, to be the difference makers. And so we start hyping them up, talking them up, only looking at the good things that they bring to the table. What is your general consensus with this quarterback class, Russ?
A very wide range of outcomes for this group. I've been a big Dwayne Haskins fan for a while now, but the rest of the class, I really don't have a strong read in terms of, like, this guy's guaranteed. I don't see that with a lot of guys in this class. They all have flaws, and even Haskins isn't a perfect prospect. This is by no means, you know, last year or or even the previous few drafts.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm glad you brought up Haskins because to me, if I'm going to – if I'm identifying one quarterback in this class that is just going to be a difference maker and could be that franchise-type guy, to me, it is Dwayne Haskins. And I think that he's got the intelligence. He can read the defenses both in the classroom and on the fly. He's got the physical skills as well that you look for. So to me, he is the guy. However – Arizona, Russ, as we know, they are linked to Kyler Murray of Oklahoma. Now, I've talked to you about it. I'm a big systems guy, right? I believe the system makes the man in many, many ways. The one position that does stand out, obviously, is quarterback. So if you're just a great quarterback, if you're Peyton Manning, you're going to go to a different team. You're going to make them better. I'm fine with that. But I look at Oklahoma, look at Baker Mayfield, and his success has translated at least in 1 year to the pro level. Can Kyler Murray have the same success?
I'm a little more skeptical than I think some people, and especially from a data and analytics standpoint, like he hits all the markers. But I don't forget Texas A&M Kyler Murray, kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he was only a freshman, but he was a disaster, and he's obviously a much different player now, and he's probably going to go one, but he's not perfect. And until this year, you know, he was far from perfect. So he has upside, but there's definitely a lot of downside here.
It always confounds me when we look at Kyler Murray and say, this is a guy who was drafted to play Major League Baseball with the Oakland A's a year before the season. And he said, for kicks and giggles, I'm going to play football. We'll just see what happens. And he has an amazing year. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, my God, he won the Heisman Trophy? Wow, that's crazy. Wow, is he really – there's no way he's still going to play football, though, right? Because he's not even on the prospect radar. Oh, my God, he is? This guy might – oh, my God, he might go in the first round. Oh, my God, Kingsbury goes to Arizona. Oh, my God, Kyler Murray's the number one pick? Like, his rise is nothing short of sensational, right? I mean, 1 year ago today, Kyler Murray isn't even on the radar screen.
No.
As a professional prospect. And now he's the number one franchise guy. That scares the daylights out of me. Right?
It's a bizarre scenario, and you broke it down pretty perfectly. He wasn't even on the QB draft eligible list. People weren't even there. And now all of a sudden he chooses football and he's the number one pick. It's strange, but
I mean, and the problems, obviously size is a problem. And I mean, it goes back to, you know, like whatever we want to call it, pornography. Like, what is pornography? Well, I know it when I see it. Right? What's illegal contact in the game of football? Well, I know it when I see it. And what is a franchise quarterback in the NFL? I know it when I see it. And these guys, Andrew Luck, we knew Andrew Luck when he was 13 years old going to Peyton and Eli Manning, the Manning camp down there in Louisiana. We knew that guy was going to be a prototype NFL quarterback going away. You know, some of these guys you just know, right? Wentz. Jared Goff, even though he wasn't as polished, like you can tell these guys were born to play quarterback. Kyler Murray's not that guy. And it's confusing and confounding to me that people don't understand this either. Is he going to go first? Are the Cardinals going to draft him, for one? Your belief right now?
Yes. I just think there's too much smoke there. I was surprised initially, but you kind of just give in after a while. Like, okay, enough reports have come out that I just trust it.
Cardinals 3-13 last year. They drafted Josh Rosen in the first round a year ago. Now, your thoughts on Josh Rosen? Now, Josh Rosen was a guy who, again, was sort of the mold to be an NFL prototype quarterback. You know, he did not have a good rookie season. I think that's fair enough to say. How much of that was coaching? How much of that was system? You know, we can argue that till we're blue in the face. Is Josh Rosen getting a raw deal here by the Arizona Cardinals organization?
I wouldn't necessarily say a raw deal. It looked like when he was out there, he needed a few years before you could take him out of the oven. So I think best case scenario, he gets traded and sits behind someone for a few years, or maybe a year or two. But he did not look ready last year. And I actually thought he had a lot of potential coming out of UCLA. He was on some really bad teams in college. So the ship was sinking around him while he was getting the snap for most of his career. But I mean, yeah, last year you can't really take much away from that.
Yeah, I was a Josh Rosen guy, I guess. He wasn't top, I think, third or fourth on my board last year during this time. But I did think that he had that makeup of being – a difference maker. And I realize I stepped into the weeds on it because the teams around him weren't good. Well, shouldn't he be elevated, especially at the college level? Shouldn't you be elevating? If you're a franchise NFL quarterback, shouldn't you be elevating your college team program? You would hope. He pouts and whines about not being drafted higher, you know, in the pre-camp thing. I made excuses for him there. So I've made a lot of excuses for Josh Rosen trying to play, you know, given the benefit of the doubt because of his physical skills. But I, at the end of the day, I think I was wrong too. And I kind of see where Arizona is just cut and bait. Like, we're just done. We get it. We made a mistake, but we're not going to let this mistake tarnish a new era with Cliff Kingsbury and his staff, you know, in Arizona. You think it's the right way to go? First year coach, bringing in that quarterback of the present and for the future. Is that the right way to go? Because part of me, Russ, thinks, well, you know, the way the Giants are doing it, and we'll talk about it later, you know, don't you want a great offensive line and maybe some weapons around you and bring a quarterback into that safe environment as opposed to, hey, we have absolutely no offensive line. Cardinals need O-linemen in this draft. They need to bring them in right away. They don't have many weapons outside of an aging Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, who did not thrive in the offense last year, but we've seen him do it before. Not a lot of weapons around. Is this the ideal setup for a franchise quarterback, especially the one of Kyle Murray's stature?
It could be one of those scenarios where Murray comes in and it works, you know, the gimmicky stuff might work for a year. So I think the quick passes and some of the stuff he did at Oklahoma might translate early on. It'll be that year two, year three, you know, when he's ran the ball 80, 90 times and gotten those linebackers coming at him and teams have film on him. I mean, that's usually when his archetype kind of fall apart or literally fall apart and get injured. So, yeah, I agree. Offensive line is a huge concern, but they might be able to get away with it for a year.
And we've seen quarterbacks take – it's year two that's really the defining measure of a quarterback. And I think Baker Mayfield is going to be the one we all need to watch because as well as these guys do, or as poorly, or as mediocre, Trubisky, Wentz, Goff, it's really how they step up in year number two that defines them and mostly defines what we all think of them. You know, we've seen strides. Wentz made huge strides. Trubisky made big strides this past year as well. So we'll want to see the same out of Baker. And obviously if Kyler Murray is drafted by the Cardinals, like we both expect, we'll want to see an environment, them improving, you know, during the course of the year. And then obviously getting better and protecting him, most importantly, going into year two, so he can make that big jump. If Russell Clay has the number one overall pick, you are now, and believe me, Russ, you are number three in line. I think I'm number four in line for taking over, being Steve Keim's job in Arizona and having that GM job. So, like it's just a matter of phone numbers. We're on a call tree, you and I, being here in the backwoods. The Cardinals might need our help. If you had the first overall pick, no matter, just you're in the Cardinals spot, who do you choose? Who's leading your franchise 2019?
I'm taking Nick Bosa, the Ohio State defensive end. And I'm riding with Rosen. I'm gonna address offensive line in the second, maybe third round as well. But I want to get that the defensive line, that seems to be a good way to build. And I get what you're saying about, you know, maybe cutting your losses. But I want to give Rosen one more year, unless they know something, unless they know like he's not committed or, you know, but if with what I know right now, I'm taking Bosa.
I think so too. I think Bosa is the way to, he's the surefire, can't really miss
right
prospect of this draft. You know, people say Quinnen Williams, they, you know, Josh Allen has a lot of hype surrounding him. There's tons of need for edge rushers, obviously. Offensive linemen in this draft or in any draft is a good Jonah Williams, somebody like that. Juwan Taylor are guys that would instantly help Arizona no matter who they have in their quarterback. But I agree with you. And I would – Bosa is just simply can't miss. He just is. And he gives you that edge rusher that every single team in the NFL, as we go through all these teams, Russ, we're going to say, guess what? Need edge, need edge, need edge. Every team needs edge. Every single team seems to need an edge rusher or another edge rusher. So I think it obviously fits a need. He's the surest thing on the board, and I completely concur with that as well. And by the way, I should mention Cardinals going last year quarterback, receiver, center, running back, cornerback, and then offensive tackle so in their draft. So that's what they did in 2018. Back in 2017, linebacker, safety, receiver, offensive lineman. So they haven't made offensive line a priority in the early rounds since 2015. Something just to, if you're looking for some tendencies or you guys are in some pick 'em pools and thinking what they may do, it seems like they don't want to choose those offensive linemen early, despite it being a need the last several years. All right, so Russell Clay, if you were the San Francisco 49ers, what is the pick for you? Let's assume, let's make it difficult for you. What, Nick Bosa is not on the board.
Not on the board. Oh boy. Yeah, We're scrambling.
Oh no, what do we do?
The phone, we picked up the phone and it dropped on the ground.
Yeah. We don't know what to do.
There's people, just papers everywhere. Yes. Quinnen Williams is a very interesting player, and I've heard a lot about how interior defensive linemen aren't as valuable anymore. And, you know, I'm a guy who I believe elite talents can help at whatever position other than like punter and kicker maybe. So
hey, don't leave the kickers out. Hey, my Chicago Bears would beg to differ.
Right.
Kicker
right.
Helping you, but yes.
So I think Quinnen Williams is probably the third best player or second best player in this draft. So I'd probably go him here.
So Quinnen Williams over, I guess we say needs at safety, corner, wide receiver. Just going, you like best player available, or is this specific to the 49ers being pretty solid all over the field?
Yeah, I just feel like they're building a pretty solid team, and really what they have to worry about is how to get pressure on Jared Goff. So if Quinnen Williams can get some double teams and open things up for everyone else, then that would be the goal.
All right, so that's the 49ers. The third pick in the 2019 NFL draft belongs to the New York Jets. Now, I heard all about – I'm not a Sam Darnold guy. I'm just not. And there were flashes at times last year that were very good. All my Jets friends tell me he's the future, he's the answer, yada, yada, yada. And I look at the Jets, and I said they won one less game than they did a year before. So I don't know. Maybe he is the answer. We'll see. But they're obviously not in the quarterback market right here. If you're either the 49ers or Jets, are you looking to trade down?
I would think so, especially with some of the packages people have been able to get lately. Although the interesting thing about this year is the random quarterback stock fluctuations are all over the place. So there might not be those calls this year like there have been in the previous few.
You don't think the Dolphins are going to call? I mean, they'll call, but you don't think they'll have anything to offer, you know, other than their 13th overall pick?
Maybe.
Ones.
I wouldn't put that against them. It'd just be, it's so much to trade up that it'd have to be like Haskins or something like that, you know? So it will be interesting to watch.
So the Jets have an interesting, assuming they keep the pick, interesting because we talked about it with the Cardinals and even briefly with the 49ers. Everybody needs an edge rusher. Jets are not opposed to that. And the Anthony Barr situation, his rejection of the Jets, you know, it didn't seem that significant, I guess, at the time. But when you break down this Jets team, it would look a lot better and they'd have a lot more options here if Anthony Barr was in the white and green.
That's very true. That was a weird situation, but yeah, they're kind of put in a situation where they do need help in that area. This is where you mentioned Josh Allen, and he's really the main edge from this class, at least that's getting mocked in that area. So I know there's rumors about him being overrated, but seems like maybe that's an area for him.
It seems like Allen, you have Montez Sweat in there as well. A couple other guys that can fill that. I mean, the Jets also have need. Another cornerback would not hurt. You gotta be able to. I love what you were saying about 49ers having to figure out, and even the Cardinals, figure out how to stop the Rams. If anybody in the AFC East ever wants to try to actually stop the Patriots, that'd be pretty awesome. Try to really thwart them, and you're going to do that either with edge rushers or by covering and improving your edge rusher. Offensive tackle, a need with the New York Jets there as well. Some say tight end. There's a pair of really good tight ends, but I think this is too high. This is too high for a tight end, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it just seems like this is too high for all these picks. At least from what I understand about them and from what I've seen, it doesn't seem like the type of year where this is a good value range, but crazier things have happened, I guess.
Indeed. So last year, quarterback, obviously, was Sam Darnold. They went safety with Jamal Adams 2 years ago. Linebacker, defensive tackles, where the Jets have gone the last 4 years in the first round. Russell Clay, are you going to stick to it? You think that Josh Allen to the Jets just makes too much sense?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it's headed. They do have some pretty interesting pieces up front, so he would kind of be like the final, you know, final set.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it is a good fit. It seems to make a lot of sense. We know there's not a lot that's going to get in the way there other than them trading down, of course, because you figure Kyler Murray, you feel like Bosa would go second, obviously, in that situation. And then Josh Allen making a lot of sense at 3 to the Jets. The Raiders here, Russell Clay, 4-12 a year ago. And I don't know if you can figure out what the Raiders are doing or not. I don't quite understand trading all your best players for first-round picks. And then those first-round picks end up being 24th and 27th overall. Not ideal when you have 3 first-round picks to have them so late. But nevertheless, it's a lot of draft capital in the first round and throughout the course of this draft. What's the greatest need for this Oakland club?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, and I mean, I'm sure you know this as well, as a fantasy guy, that secondary was shredded cheese last year. They did improve a little bit later in the year, but one of the big narratives in this draft is that there isn't really a corner to take in the top 10, but I mean, that's what I would want to do if I were them, but I think it's going to end up being one of these defensive linemen.
There's no Denzel Ward. There's no lockdown corner. And that is a problem because that's a need all over the board. Now it'll be interesting to see how corners are treated in this draft because the need obviously is there. It's a pass first league, but also with offenses throwing out so many receivers, throwing so many move tight ends that are playing off the line of scrimmage. And we've seen, you know, teams do it to Gronkowski in the last couple of years, putting a corner, an actual corner over the top of them that could run with those bigger bodied safeties. It's a lot of specialty needs with those defensive backs as well. So I agree. I just don't see that corner here for the Raiders, though, it would be a very impactful find. How about the speculation that the Raiders may try to package these picks and move up either to that number one pick or whatnot? There's some – it's interesting. The last couple of days, Russell, is Kyler Murray to the Cardinals has actually lost a little bit of steam, and the Raiders trading up to get Kyler Murray has picked up a little bit of steam. And I don't want to, you know, last year it was right around this time that the Baker Mayfield train started leaving the station. And we started realizing more teams like this guy or not. Any thought that the Raiders might try to move up, or if they stay at four, grabbing, assuming Murray's not there, grabbing a Dwayne Haskins or another quarterback.
It's definitely interesting. You know, Derek Carr is what he is. I think he's in that Andy Dalton sort of range where he's good enough to be a starter, but not going to get you where John Gruden wants to go. So, I mean, clearly they have a plan. I mean, we thought during the season it was insane what they were doing, but maybe their plan the whole time was to sort of get Gruden as QB. So it wouldn't shock me. I don't see Murray as a guy that teams would do that for, like they did with Wentz or Goff or, you know, all those other guys, but maybe.
Maybe. They obviously fill the need wide receiver, getting Antonio Brown. That's going to help. They do have a need at tight end with Jared Cook moving on here in Oakland as well. You mentioned the secondary and need running back. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, they don't really have a running back unless you consider Isaiah Crowell a running back. But you don't need to take – if it's not a talent like Saquon Barkley, really no need to take running backs early. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think the second and third round is like the sweet spot for running back. I think first is, unless it's Saquon, is a little much. And then, you know, Kareem Hunt, Kamara, like Jamal Charles, Ray Rice, like all those guys, you can get really awesome talents in the second and third round. So
And if
wide receiver is a big need for the Raiders. I don't trust Tyrell Williams as the second guy. So,
well, I mean, I said it wasn't a need, and obviously you're probably right that it is, though, but they spent so much money between Brown and Tyrell.
Right.
Can you really invest a first or second in another receiver? I mean, you can if you're, you know, if you're the Raiders, because the Raiders will do it, whether it's James Jett. Who was that other speedy guy that they – back in Al Davis? They
used to man. Draft.
I can't remember.
Darius Hayward Bay?
Hayward Bay was a high pick. There's one other that just was mesmerizing. One of the worst draft picks I've ever seen in my life. probably 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago. I'm getting old. But nevertheless, I wouldn't put it past them, but the amount of money – spent on Tyrell and Antonio Brown, good Lord. You know, even bringing in Ryan Grant and such, I don't know if they're going to go there, especially in the early rounds. So Russell Clay's on the clock with the fourth overall pick in the Oakland Raiders. Who are you going to go with here, man?
So we went through all that, and I think I'd try to build interior here as well, since there isn't secondary. I'd just go defense and Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary would be the selection over a Montez Sweat?
Yeah, or Montez Sweat, but I kind of see both of them as similar, and I watch more Big Ten football, and I was really impressed with Gary, man. He's kind of freaky, so I think I would reach a little here.
Not bad. I mean, how much do you put into the combine? You said you watch a lot of college football. You watch these guys at game speed, which is always very important. Now, I fully admit, the way I do my process is, since I don't watch a lot of college football, I wind up seeing the combine coverage before I dive into individual prospects. And then I go back and watch the film. And then I see what other people may or may not be saying about them. But I definitely want to see them and isolate them as much as possible. So I don't get a chance to do that to after the season for the most part. But how much do you put into it versus what you see during the course of a college season than what you see after in the Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine, Combine, all that good stuff.
It's a box checking situation for me at the Combine where if I think a guy is super athletic and he proves that, it's like, okay, check the box. But really what I'm looking for at the Combine is the guys that don't display NFL athleticism. And it's really those types that I kind of hone in on more so than, you know, the freak shows. It's good to know who is super, super athletic, but I do lean on, you know, the film and some of the production stuff as well. So I lean more that way. I do think it's valuable though. Like, I don't think you should throw it out by any means. You know, that's one of their first big tests to show that they've been working hard, you know?
It absolutely is. It's more not just about the physical skills and the measurables. It's also, like you said, have they been putting in the work? One of the first tests before they get individual worked out and all that good stuff. Raiders off the board at number 4. We move on to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. New coaching staff here in Tampa Bay, Russ. And we got Bruce Arians coming to town. Thing I love about Bruce Arians, I'm so fascinated because he leaves Arizona because he's retiring, spending time with his family. And then, you know, in the early part of the offseason, he's like, well, I would only come back to coach the Cleveland Browns because I think what they have is special and blah, blah, blah. Did not get the Browns job. And next thing you know, he's in Tampa Bay. Like, yeah, but you kind of just went for it. And Tampa Bay had to actually send Arizona compensation, late round picks in exchange for letting Arians out, because I thought that was a little shady myself. But nevertheless, biggest needs for the Buccaneers. Do they have their franchise quarterback? Is Jameis Winston the franchise? Can he elevate under Bruce Arians?
I believe so. In terms of talent, like, that's clearly there. I don't think that's ever been a question for him. And with the stability of an Arians and that type of system, and the immense amount of weapons he has, you know, Evans, OJ Howard, Chris Godwin, that is, if he can't succeed with that, it'd be pretty shocking, because I think a below average, you know, quarterback can succeed in that situation. So I would have to think they give him one more year.
Makes sense to me. They've said all the right things. It doesn't appear that Arians is going to try to get his guy. I don't think Bruce Arians is really a long-term guy anyway. Like, it just doesn't feel like he wants to build anything. He wants to turn it around real, real quickly, and likely thinks that he can. Linebackers, corners. This defense needs to be improved. I thought the last 2 years, Tampa Bay, it seems that they had really, really good talent on that defensive side of the football. But for whatever reason, they just couldn't play together the right way, and now a lot of this talent is dispersed. So they need to rebuild it, and, you know, losing a guy like Quan Alexander won't help that. So I'm looking at linebacker, corner, safety as the biggest need here in Tampa Bay, Russell.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you mentioned Quan Alexander. That was a weird guy to let go. But Devin White's been getting mocked there a lot. He's a big time linebacker from LSU. LSU, yeah. He's a really interesting guy for them.
Yeah, I like a guy like Devin White at speed, like a speedy middle linebacker. He can play on the edge if you need him to, but he plays in the middle of the field, goes sideline to sideline. And it feels like he's one of those guys that will make the tackle, that's going to stop people short of the first down marker. You know, he could cover a lot of area. Timed out very well at the combine, 4.42 for a linebacker, pretty damn quick right there. I feel like that's a pretty darn good fit. The corners in Tampa Bay are pretty brutal too. Carlton Davis, Vernon Hargreaves, first rounder a few years ago. MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis, a pair of second rounders from a year ago, both of which I picked on mercilessly in DFS, which I absolutely loved them. So they were bad. Corners sometimes will take, you know, make that jump to, and Todd Bowles is a good secondary coach here as well. Any consideration? I mean, we talked about a little bit with the Jets. Anybody, you don't see anybody at corner that may jump up here?
I was really impressed with Greedy Williams during the season. He was that LSU defense was unbelievable. But it doesn't seem like he's getting that that push to be a top 10 guy. So in theory, if I were just looking at it and didn't know all the other takes out there, I would think Greedy Williams would be a very interesting pick there. But it doesn't seem like he's up there.
My guy is Rock Ya-Sin. That's sort of my corner. And I, like you said, I would be dangerous if I had access to an NFL team, their draft, because the temptation to just go with my guy versus the right guy necessarily, because I don't know. It's always different, right? Sometimes your guy is the best need for the club, and a guy you believed in, it would be terrible. Just like in a fantasy draft, if you know you're going to be a whore to ADP, well, you're going to build the team you actually want to build. It's tough like that. But a guy like Rock Ya-Sin, I was impressed with all the way through. And to me, he's probably the top cornerback. He is the top cornerback on my board, as a matter of fact, though. Did not play against the greatest of competition, but I think with the right coaching, and especially a guy like Todd Bowles, he could be very successful. But Tampa Bay, who are you going to make them choose at number 5?
I'm going to be an ADP whore.
You got to, right?
I'm going to go with Devin White.
Devin White makes sense. Listen, I tried. You cannot, I don't want to hear all you guys like, oh, man, it's true. Now, I tried to make a case. I tried to do something for Russ to get away from Devin White, but that's the right call. It's just the right move, the replacement for Quan Alexander and that guy. The Tampa defense needs sort of, I hate to say the leader, but he's going to go in there and be that gap plugger that is so desperately needed in Tampa Bay. 6th overall pick here, Russell Clay, in 2019 draft. We're looking at the New York Giants. And the Giants come finally back to the quarterback discussion that everybody seems to drop their pants in favor of every NFL draft season. Eli Manning's their guy. That's what they say. What do you say? How say Russell Clay?
What's our language level on this podcast?
I know we want to. It's amazing. I haven't cursed yet, so it's a record. I think we want to keep a fair rating.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna say, screw that, and I'm taking the controls here, and I'm picking Haskins and teaming him up with all those weapons, and everyone's happy.
But, and this is the part of my job that sucks, because trying to host a show with smart people, I have to try to make the case at least for other things. It's just like the anti-Devin White thing. Well, what about, and we talked about it with the Cardinals, the Giants seem to be trying, you know, they got Hernandez, interior lineman, they got Saquon to take some pressure off, get rid of Odell Beckham, and obviously that means more draft picks for the Giants. As a matter of fact, they're going to have number 17 that they got in that trade for Odell Beckham Jr. as well. So they got another pick coming up here in 10, 11 picks. So they're going to be able to address needs at other spots. You think maybe there's a greater need? They do need two edge rushers, realistically, because Olivier Vernon's also gone. Get Jabril Peppers a safety in the deal. They need another cornerback. Wide receiver, they bring in Golden Tate. Any kind of thought that maybe they wait and maybe there's a guy, you know, that either a Drew Locke or a Daniel Jones or Will Greer, who seems to be a lot of getting some interest, may be there for them when they choose at number 17.
So a lot of people, if you say the name Drew Locke, you'll notice audible groans, just groans. And I actually don't mind him. If they went him with their second first round pick, I wouldn't mind that. I feel like he does have enough potential. obviously has, you know, flaws, but at 17, you know, he's an interesting guy. I would still do Haskins, but yeah, you kind of look at, we mentioned Montez Sweat or, you know, some of the other guys here. Certainly interesting. They do need to improve that offensive line. Jonah Williams or Juwan Taylor could definitely think about it here, but I mean, need a quarterback.
When we talk, so Haskins, they need a quarterback. I'm fine with that. When we're talking about Haskins, so Haskins will not be there at 17, right? Whether it's the Redskins, Dolphins who choose in between that, the Bengals are rumored to maybe need a quarterback or be looking or something like that. We can safely assume Haskins likely won't be there. Do you think Haskins is the number two QB on the board for the majority of these 32 NFL teams? Or do you think Locke or, and Daniel Jones has his people out there too? Do you think it's, you know, how do you think these other teams feel about this quarterbacking derby?
So I actually do think it's pretty mixed. Mm-hmm. You know, Haskins was kind of a one-year guy and obviously hasn't convinced everyone, especially based on the reports coming out. And, you know, especially this past week, there's some reports that some NFL teams don't see him as a first-round caliber guy. Right. So there's a good mix. I'd say he leads the way. He leads the polls, but he's probably, you know, not the only guy getting second place votes here.
So I have to go my Drew Locke rant a little bit here real quick, just because, listen, I was very excited about this kid. A lot of people have from his recruitment process all the way through. His arm, he has a bit of swagger. He has, like, my generation will always say Brett Favre. He's the Brett Favre type, gunslinger, all this kind of stuff. And here's the thing that drives me crazy. And I watch tape. I've done all my quarterback work, Russ, so I'm good on quarterbacks for sure. Last year, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was a guy that I just, like, oh my God, jumped off the page. And the thing I said about MBS was is the worst quarterbacking I've ever seen on tape. Oh, and DJ Chark, another guy that I did my study, my write-ups, and then I looked at what other people were saying, said, oh, what is this? And people are like, oh, you can't track the football. And that was entirely incorrect. I watched tape of him tracking the football, DJ Chark. I watched bad quarterback play for MBS. And the thing that drives me crazy about Locke is people blame his receivers. I don't see it. I see a guy who, if he was a pitcher in Major League Baseball, would be a closer. Why? Because he's got phenomenal stuff and could sling it over a short period of time. He goes on runs where he's just – it's everything's in sync and moving. And then he completely falls apart. I see him, you know, at times he steps into his throw and he puts his shoulder through the ball and delivers a nice strike on point. An aggressive throw down the field on slant routes or some crossing routes that I love, and that makes me excited. Then I see the other Drew Locke, and the other Drew Locke is running to one side and then lofting the ball up high to the, you know, in like thrown into the barrel to the left side of the field, and I'm like, what the F is he doing? And it's inconsistent, and he will use his other arm to balance out his throws at times when he's trying to put zip on it. And what I'm saying is the mechanical issues here lead to inconsistent throws. And I didn't see nearly as many drops as people are saying about Drew Locke. They blame his receivers, and I personally don't see it. I see a guy who's erratic with his throwing motion, who is erratic with his with where he delivers the ball, how he delivers the ball, and will get into short periods of rhythm where he's unstoppable. But over the duration, I have serious concerns. Coaching will help. But I hate to do that because I've seen so many of these guys that are electric like him come in with good coaching, and they'll bring special coaches in. They've even brought their college coaches in at times to be quarterback coach, and it just doesn't work out because the game is too fast at the NFL level. So I'm anti-Drew Locke for that matter. You said if he was at 17 or something and you're Washington where you kind of have a quarterback, you kind of don't, or – even Miami, maybe later on, I could figure it out. But no, It's a hard pass for me if I'm the Giants. I just think this is a guy who's too many distractions in New York. Doesn't fit what where I would want to go with Pat Shurmur and Mike Shula, who I do not believe in at all as an offensive coordinator or as a play caller at all. I think this would be a very bad fit for Drew Lock. So I'm hoping he doesn't. I think Haskins is a much better fit, much more polished prospect, and will have a better NFL career as well. So that's my thought on Drew Lock.
Can I'm going to throw something out there. If I didn't know you were talking about Drew Lock, I would have been like, is this a decade ago? Is he talking about Blaine Gabbert?
Yes. And I said,
that sounds exactly like what Blaine Gabbert was. And
I'll tell you, in doing this a long time, you're right. It is. I was younger at the time. I didn't have a forum to do this, but like Ryan Leaf, even, you know, going, if you want to keep going back, I remember like when I was first coming up, it was the Manning Ryan Leaf debate. And Russell, I will tell you, I fought my partner Ted Schuster and I. We argued. Dude, people kept saying Pat Manning didn't win the big game in Tennessee. Didn't win the big game in Tennessee. And everybody back in the late 90s, early 2000s was about, well, who you only are good. Like some people say, oh, if you don't play in the SEC, you're not a good football player. That's the way some people look at it. If you don't play in a great conference, if you don't go to big bowl games, we all know bowl games are bull crap. Because it's a lot of what school you're at, who's your, you know, all these rating systems come down to, they're swayed by prestige and money and a lot of other things that
don't
allow just the best players to play in the best games. So I think most of us are smart enough to not adhere to that. But Peyton Manning will be a better prospect than Ryan Leaf going away. And luckily the Colts, they made the right choice on that because it wasn't even close. And anybody did due diligence should have known that if a 20-year-old kid like myself at the time could make that call, every NFL scout should have. But unfortunately, was not the case. And every year it's the same thing with Drew Lock. And it's a Josh Allen thing. It's like, I like Josh Allen. I'm rooting for him and all that. But Sam Darnold, I interviewed Sam Darnold. I saw him in his face. He's just not impressive. I've interviewed a lot of prospects over my day. It's like, man, I could tell a guy who – there's certain quarterbacks walk in the room, like everyone's like, oh, cool, who's that? You know, they you sit up. You're like, okay. Sam Darnold's like just looks dead in the eyes to me. I just never saw it. I'm telling you, he was confused the entire process. I watched him. I'm like, this guy's in trouble. And then I saw the first pass against the Lions. I'm like, yeah, that's the Sam Darnold I think. And obviously had a better season. And then Allen is so talented but erratic throwing the football. So it's great for fantasy when he's running the ball, but you want to sit back and play a West Coast-style offense that Brian DeBall wants to run in Buffalo with Sean McDermott, and you want to do that in the weather of Buffalo with Josh Allen as your quarterback, I say good luck, sir. Good luck,
Yikes.
Sir.
Yikes. Yikes. Yeah. I mean, the good news is he's a freak athlete, so they'll at least get a few good years out of him just plowing through people. So.
Until the concussions start adding up.
Right, right. But yeah. A few years, yeah.
So back to the Giants after my little tangent. Thank you for sticking with me for that. So you think at the sixth pick has to be the heir to Eli Manning?
If I were running that team, yes.
And for the purposes of this, we'll let you run this team.
Okay, I would go Haskins. The Daniel Jones thing is like, okay, I don't know, man. That's wild. But it does seem like quarterback is heating up around this pick. So I would go with what I think is the best one, which is Haskins.
Daniel Jones is interesting to me. I don't know if he's got – I hate the rushing quarterback thing. You know what I mean? There's just a couple. I don't know if he's not just going to be a statue after his first 2 years. There's some quarterbacks that show a little bit of escapability and whatnot, and then there are guys that, but 2-3 years in the league, they cut that off and they just want to sit back and throw. And if they don't have protection in there, there's not much they can do. And there's a lot with Daniel Jones mechanically. I'm a mechanic when it comes to I played quarterback, just so Russ, I don't know if we've ever talked about this. Quarterbacking to me is very important. I think mechanics are everything. Where you hold the ball, how you grip the football, the way your eyes make progressions, what you show between your eyes, your head, and your shoulders to an opposing defense, specifically safeties. I think it's everything. I really believe it's everything. I think quarterback success can be traced back to simply how you look off a safety. I mean, simple. It's just one-on-one matchup. Anybody could deliver a football, should be able to deliver a football when you know the route and the defense doesn't. It's those safeties and linebackers that come up or move back that drill you. And I don't know. Daniel Jones worries me when it comes to those second, third level attributes, but nevertheless. So Haskins goes 6 in our mock draft to the Giants. I can't dispute that at all. Do I think they'll do it? No.
No.
I have a feeling they're almost like pot committed, saying, screw you, we're not going to choose. Because there is that other side. The longer you don't draft your quarterback, the more you still have the potential to draft your future savior. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You could just, like, if they draft Haskins and he's not the guy, or Jones or Locke, then they're tied to that guy, and it's, well, this is now our guy. If they keep waiting and keep losing, every year this time there's another potential savior around the corner. It feels like the Giants almost are that defiant at this stage, but we shall see. 7th pick, Jacksonville Jaguars, and they don't need a quarterback. They got a Super Bowl champion in Nick Foles here, so Jaguars, of all the top 10 picks, Russell Clay, it feels like the Jaguars is the absolute most glaring and obvious.
Yes.
Which way they're going to go. What would you do if you're the Jaguars?
Offensive line. I mentioned Juwan Taylor earlier. Seems like he's the main guy that's being talked about. Jonah Williams as well. Kind of the two. He's a guard, but kind of the two offensive linemen. They need to fix that up. They did have a lot of injuries last year, but, no guarantee Norwell, Linder, and Robinson are all going to be healthy this year. So, got to address that. I won't say they're in win now mode, but they're only going to have a few more years with this defense before those guys all get paid and get old. So, I mean, they got to get this offense figured out.
And they, that's it. You said Linder, Norwell, Cam Robinson, everybody was hurt last year. You get those guys back and you get them healthy. And then you add to that, you know, a player of the caliber of Juwan Taylor. Andre Dillard's not terrible either. If somehow Taylor was off the board, or some people are talking about maybe the Giants taking him, I would be fine. I think the need is so overwhelming that Dillard would be probably the next one up on that board. But now all of a sudden you're talking about a much more stable offensive line, given Nick Foles a little more time, given more room to run, which is what they want to do anyway. So is there any other entertaining thoughts that you would have for the Jaguars? Or
Tight end's really ugly for them. I just feel like offensive line is a little bit more you can survive having a tight end that's more of a blocker, and they have O'Shaughnessy, so they can survive there.
Jeff Swaim now, man. I mean, come on.
Well,
Jeff Swaim, you can't mess with
that. I kind of passed by him on the depth chart.
Well done. Well played. So it's obvious. Jaguars, they're going to choose multiple offensive linemen in this draft. They will. Wide receiver, is it a need for them? I mean, on paper, the production's obviously not there. We have Marquise Lee, Westbrook, who they were super high on going into last year. And I do love DJ Chark. I will say this, and I really believe he is a potential breakout in 2019, and not just a break. He's a potential stud wide receiver. I really believe Chark has that kind of range and has that kind of talent that he could be BFFs with Nick Foles.
Yeah, and I think they need to bank on him developing, because they spent a high pick on him, almost a first rounder last year. So, yeah, I think you fire away with that, and hopefully Lee gets back. But if not, they have D.D. Westbrook. They're going to be run heavy again if Fournette's healthy, which, you know, who knows what's going on. It sounds like he's gotten in some trouble with the registry.
Yeah, good Lord, man.
But they're going to try to be run heavy again. So I would let Chark develop and hope that works out if I were them.
Of all 32 teams, if you guys are in any pools or making any bets, like, the Jaguars are one of the easiest teams to target. They're pretty obvious. They're going to choose multiple offensive linemen this draft. They're going to choose a tight end in this draft. They're going to choose a running back. I do believe that. I think they're going to put a little bit of pressure on Fournette. I wouldn't doubt if it's as high as the second, if not third or fourth round. They're going to add somebody here to ensure themselves around Leonard Fournette, even though they brought in Alfred Blue. They brought in Benny Cunningham, but a more special teams type of player there. But it's pretty easy to diagnose exactly what the Jaguars are going to do. Juwan Taylor is the pick. I think Russell and I both agree on that. We'll move on to the eighth overall pick, Detroit Lions. They have some issues. 6-10 a year ago, Russ. They could use an edge rusher, of course. They can use corner. They could use another offensive lineman, both at tackle and guard. And then maybe a slight need at wide receiver. I don't think they're going to be in the DK Metcalf Derby, though, do you?
No, it seems like Metcalf's run as that top 10 to 15 guy is kind of faded over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm looking Montez Sweat here, or, you know, if Rashawn Gary falls, then, you know, to this spot, then interchange those. But that's kind of what I'm looking at here.
An edge rusher with Ziggy Ansah. Still not – Ziggy didn't sign anywhere, did he? I don't think he signed anywhere yet as of this recording of this podcast. Interesting on that. The trade for Damon Harrison, obviously, in drafting Alshon Robinson last year, shores up their interior. They just need those guys on the edges, and one preferably, unlike Ziggy Ansah, that actually stays healthy. So I think the Montez Sweat, I think that makes a ton of sense here for the Lions. The Lions are in some trouble just with, you know, Matt Stafford, and they got a couple overvalued guys. Stafford makes a ton of money. And can you win with Stafford? I think you can. Matt Patricia, he's supposed to bring that New England Patriots swagger and excitement to Detroit. Didn't happen last year. Supposedly he's a rocket scientist, but Russell Clay, I did not see the rocket scientist on the sidelines for Detroit last year.
I did not either, but they did go more run heavy. They, you know, they got Taylor Decker, Rang now, and they have a pretty
Jesse James they have, right?
They have a pretty good setup for that running game. Like, they were effective when Kerryon Johnson was healthy. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they lean more on the left side of the line, then I think they can survive. But some are mocking Jonah Williams here, but it just seems like a much more pressing need is the end.
Jonah being an interior offensive lineman as well. I think that I'm all about offensive line. I think the offensive line is the lifeblood of a team. I really do believe that. Makes everything go. And it's how you win games is put up points, and you do it if you can block and you can protect, you can be effective. And it makes those skill position players a lot better. So if I'm building the Lions and I have a decision to make, I would try to make it on the offensive line side of it, not to diminish the impact of a pass rusher, especially elite level ones. And Montez Sweat has that capability for sure. But I always favor the offensive line and building that out. So Montez Sweat is the play here at number 8 overall to the Lions, correct?
For me, yeah. Sounds like you might be going Jonah here.
No, you know, I'm okay with Sweat. I It's part of the thing, you know. I'm torn. Is it my pick or is it the Lions' pick? If I'm in charge, I may have a different answer and may go to Jonah Williams. But I think Sweat is going to be who they go with because Patricia has some pressure on him in year two. His defense has to get better, and yeah. You know, you can make the pass rush could be better when great coverage, and the coverage could be better with great pass rush. They don't have either. And we saw Darius Slay at times get beat last year. We saw last year with Tez Tabor, worst cornerback in the entire universe. So you got some bad picks a year ago. And bringing Justin Coleman, who is a good nickel corner, that's a good move. Him and Slay, possibly better. I just feel the pressure's on Patricia and they're going to go defense, especially if Sweat's on the board, because he's a guy who generates a lot of excitement. Right, he's a guy a lot of people are excited about, so I get that. Moving on to Buffalo, another 6-10 team here. Russell Clay, defense side of the ball, offensive line saw a pillage of offensive linemen leave Buffalo before the 2018 season, so a need there. It's one of the few teams that you'll say, hey, they brought in two wide receivers, and then I would say yes, and they desperately need another wide receiver because trash is what they brought in with John Brown and Cole Beasley, right? That's the other guy. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. Not good.
Not great. Not great.
Just not good. And I talk about Josh Allen, my quarterback. I think Brown could be exciting because he's a downfield guy and whatnot, but you want Cole Beasley to run tight slants without a big body. And I mean, you have to put it on the numbers to a guy like Cole Beasley, and Josh Allen's not the quarterback that's going to do that. So I don't like that fit at all. But break down the Bills. What's the biggest need in your eyes?
Yeah, I get really excited when they talk about tight ends here. You know, a lot of Hockenson and Fant here, which
Iowa boys.
Yep, I think Hockenson would be a guy that could really help Josh Allen. As you mentioned, you know, he's an erratic dude, but if you can have an explosive sort of underneath weapon that can help him out on dump offs and, you know, be there for him basically as a support guy.
Right.
For when he's struggling, yes.
Yeah. Detroit has a need at tight end. Buffalo obviously has a need at tight end too. It'll be interesting to see whether or not Detroit would be able to pull that trigger. I don't think they would. And then Buffalo, the thing about the tight end position is it is a multifaceted position in that it helps you, especially with a guy like Hockenson, even Fant. I mean, any Iowa tight end, and I know I'm going to get a good blocker. I'm going to get a well-polished athlete because that's what Kirk Ferentz does at the University of Iowa. Yep. And, you know, for years and years, it's been an offensive line factory, Robert Gallery notwithstanding. But the rest of them, so like Hockenson, he is a very accomplished blocker, and it helps the offensive line. Gives you a little bit of protection time, and it also gives you that huggy blanky like you were talking about for a young developing quarterback. So I could definitely dig that. I think interior defensive lineman would be another spot that potentially they can go. You give me a defensive tackle. Jeffrey Simmons, maybe Ed Oliver. So, guys, very interesting prospect that's been getting some helium up through this process as well. Do you have Oliver ahead of Simmons? How do you rank those two DTs?
I like Ed Oliver. He was kind of a guy that was heading into the year. He was the guy, you know, him and Bosa were going head to head for, you know, who's going to be the number one pick. And then, I don't know, maybe playing for Houston as a five-star recruit wasn't a great move or something. I don't know, because that defense was horrific. But, I mean, he's got a very skilled set of, you know, talents. So I like him quite a bit.
Wonder if Simmons isn't getting downplayed a little bit, some off the field issues with domestic abuse and things like that. So it's interesting between those two. Let's make the pick for the Buffalo Bills at 9. Who are they going with?
Hockenson, TJ Hockenson. Yeah.
Hockenson off the board to the Buffalo Bills. I support that. Not a bad move. And we'll force somebody – once Hockenson's off the board, I think it's going to force somebody to go early on Noah Fant. Do you like not necessarily right away, but somewhere? I think there are a bunch of teams in the mid range here that are thinking they may get a depleted Hockenson, you know, outside of the top 10 potentially. When he's off the board, some teams that it feels like it's going to, between, you know, Waring and Smith, I think no fan's going to get that move up into the first round.
I agree. I think the distance between Fant and the third tight end in this class, I know some people are big fans of Irv Smith, and I recognize that, but he's not, you know, a first round caliber tight end. So I agree. This 10 to 20 range is, someone is probably going to bite on Fant in that range.
I think so too, but the Hockenson is off the board of the Bills. Next up, 10th overall pick, Denver Broncos. Do the Broncos have their quarterback of the future in Joe Flacco?
So, I mean, if we're trying to stereotype a GM here, Daniel Jones looks pretty savory, you know, tall and
true.
and strong arm, I guess. I don't know. It's tough to tell what the Broncos have been trying to do the last couple of seasons. They definitely – I don't know how bad their defense was last year. It seemed like they cratered once they recognized their offense just was awful.
Right.
And then they started giving up those huge running games like that, the Rams game where Todd Gurley, you know, ripped them up. But I feel like they need to still focus on offense, whether that's offensive line or maybe Fant here or something goofy. I don't know, but they have interesting pieces. It's just their offenses. We'll see what Flacco can do.
I'm very intrigued to see Vic Fangio as a head guy, because as a defensive strategist, he's very good. And you look at, you talked about the run game at Denver, and I was screaming last year when you would take like, Suell Cravens comes in, and when he was on the field, they would put Cravens in obvious passing situations and take him off in running situations. And it's one of the most talked about aspects of what the Broncos did last year. Like, it was just a personnel mismanagement, where Fangio's not going to be that dumb. He is very, very adept at how to use players, when to use players, and forcing guys in. I love the fact that, you know, Chris Harris will come back and he's healthy at some point. Bring in Bryce Callahan, one of the better nickel corners from Chicago, who Vic Fangio's very, very up with and knows a lot about. Now, all of a sudden, you stabilize if and when Chris Harris comes back. Stabilize that secondary a good amount. Use your safeties better and get that pass rush back to where it's supposed to be. For crying out loud, you have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. How can you not rush the passer better? It just
bingo. Yeah.
And enough with the wide nine garbage. Oh my God. It's a defensive setup that drives me absolutely bananas. You have a team that wants to run the football and you're running wide nine, you're setting up defensive ends outside. What are you doing? Oh, it drives me absolutely bananas too. So schematically, I just anticipate the Broncos taking a big leap forward, just going away with Fangio and Ed Donatell, even the defense coordinator. Defense is going to be fine. It's this offense I do worry about. I think the interior needs help. Ronald Leary, he has just not been able to stay healthy. I liked the signing 2 years ago. He was great with the Dallas Cowboys and led to a big season back in the day with DeMarco Murray and I think one season of Zeke, but no, he wasn't in there with Zeke. My bad on that. But, you know, good run blocking, but he's never run blocking interior. They need another guy on the right side. And an offensive guard would make a lot of sense. A mid linebacker, a defensive tackle, somebody on the interior would make a lot of sense here too. Which way are you leaning with the Broncos here, Russell Clay?
Yeah, let's go with Jonah. Let's go with Jonah. I think that's fills a need and kind of just works for, because they have a lot of young developing pieces, you know?
They do, and I think that if they want to be a run-first team, which they do, I mean, their offensive line does grade out well pro-run. You know, it really does. And I think one more piece in that, you have the threat of Joe Flacco. The arm is there. Whether people want to admit it or not with quarterbacks, respect is a big, big thing. And I talk about how to play the safeties and linebackers. When they don't respect you, you're in trouble. They will rush you and put you on your back, and it becomes a long day. When you get that respect, even if you can't deliver as often, just the fact that they play back, that half a second extra, it opens up running lanes. It opens up underneath passing windows, and it can really help move an offense, especially in today's game where we're playing a lot of quick hitting passes. So building that offense line would be a good idea. Jonah Williams, University of Alabama, off the board, 10th overall to the Denver Broncos. The Bengals, I'm calling the Bengals. No more Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. My God, I look at the Bengals. A lot of big needs. Some people say quarterback. What do you think? Andy Dalton.
Can you win that wild card weekend game with Andy Dalton? It doesn't appear that way. How many years did we see him just kind of crumble? But the problem is, he's good enough to where there's other things they can address. That division, what do you think of their secondary? Pretty solid, right?
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Listen, Kirkpatrick is solid. The William Jackson, solid. The problem is they get split out wide. Can't remember who was that corner. I picked on a Cincinnati corner all last year. Now I'm drawing a complete blank on it.
William Jackson?
No, it wasn't Jackson. Denard? Oh, yeah, that was it. It was Denard. Yes, that was it. When they would play him, they played him in the slot for a while to start, and then they played him out wide, and it was just a mess at times. So I think the secondary is okay. You can never have too many corners, but in this division, you're going to need somebody who tackles. You're going to need an end-to-end linebacker, you know, sort of captain on the defensive side. You need an edge rusher too, I would think. There's some issue, you know, depth along the offensive line is not a bad thing. So there are different needs. I'm thinking linebacker for Cincinnati here.
Yeah. Would it be like Devin Bush?
Next guy up. Yeah. I mean, that would probably be, I'm looking at, Tavon Coney, Notre Dame. He's not going to go this high, obviously, but TJ Edwards, Wisconsin. You watch a lot of Big Ten football. So there's some names out here that I have closer to Bush than other people may have. But I feel like Devin Bush would probably be the choice. And I think linebacker is the spot that they're going to go here.
But doesn't it almost feel like a trade down situation where,
yes, completely.
I feel like they need more depth, and they definitely need linebackers like you were talking about, but they don't really need a corner. They don't really, unless they went quarterback, you know, unless they went Drew Lock or did something weird.
Right. Like, this is the spot. I think this is where one of our first drop-offs of the draft, because you look at when you get Quentin Williams, Nick Bosa, even guys like Devin White would be amazing if they can get him. Like, Devin White, immediately, yes, that's Cincinnati. 100% would choose Devin White if he was available here, but the problem I have is I just don't see him being available past Tampa Bay at that spot like we mocked here. So it's a drop-off. Trading down would make a little bit of sense. If we had to put a name to it, though, for Cincinnati at 11, is it going to be Devin Bush?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Devin Bush. I felt like their offensive line was okay last year.
It's solid. It's just not deep, yeah. And it's old. When Cordy Glenn and, you know, some of these interior guys, it's a good offensive line. It just doesn't stay healthy, and it's getting old. And Billy Price is young, first-round pick from a year ago, and very solid in the middle, but he was beaten up last year. And when you take him, replacement value drops off considerably.
Right.
So I feel like they're going to attack interior of the offensive line, but they're likely going to do it past the first round, in my opinion. So Devin Bush will go off the board there. Number 12, the Packers. Look at that. They have an angry Aaron Rodgers, evidently. And one thing I know about the Green Bay Packers, Russell Clay, cornerback and safety, cornerback and safety. Let's see. 2018, cornerback, linebacker. They didn't get a safety last year. For some reason, I thought they did. No, they went those two corners. The year before, cornerback, safety. Year before, defense tackle, offense tackle, linebacker.
I think they went Jair.
Jair Alexander last year. Yeah, they drafted and then Jones from the University of Iowa. They chose – weirdest thing last year about the Packers, they chose a great man-to-man corner, and then they chose a great zone corner. That was one of the most intriguing things I found in last year's draft. Where, okay, what are you doing? Like Josh Jones was the guy they picked in the second, or that was it was 2 years ago. Who was the cornerback from last year?
Kevin King from Iowa, I think it was.
No, last year, Josh Jackson. Oh, they have Josh Jones. Oh, Josh Jackson last year. Yeah, that was it. It was Jair Alexander, and it's Josh Jackson, and one. Extremely good zone, one good man-to-man. And it just didn't make a lot of sense. It felt like they were not on the same page as well. New head coach, new offensive coordinator in Nate Hackett. We'll see if it's a new Aaron Rodgers. Safety always a need in Green Bay. They traded away Ha-Ha Clinton Dix a year ago. They did bring in Adrian Amos from the Chicago Bears, Tremont Williams there as well. Clay Matthews. Got rid of him. He now the LA Rams, so need at linebacker is possible here. Which direction do you see the Packers going?
I'm looking offensive line here, mm-hmm. and only because the linebackers would be what I'd be interested in, but they're gone. So, you know, Andre Dillard or Cody Ford would probably be where I'd head here.
So Cody Ford on the interior, the
Oklahoma,
yeah, and then you mentioned Andre Dillard of Washington, Washington State, as a matter of fact, on the outside. Tough with the Packers, which I mean, I feel like Bulaga and Bakhtiari, even if Bakhtiari can't stay healthy anymore, are solid enough. So if I'm flipping the coin here, I'm going to go on the interior. I think it is a need. Got to keep him healthy in Aaron Rodgers, obviously. And I think a guy like Cody Ford makes the most sense. So let's go Cody Ford up to Green Bay. It's one of those picks that just doesn't excite us very much.
No. Yeah,
from a fantasy standpoint especially. But it's a need. And I swear to God, if they choose any more secondary, I'm going to just label the Packers not knowing what you're doing. At a certain point, you just don't know what you're doing. Like, I get you need corners and safeties. But if you're going to go – in the last 4 years, you draft 8 defensive backs. You don't know what the hell you're doing, I don't think, right? I mean, at least in the first couple rounds.
Right. It seems like that – organization is looking to stabilize this year. They've been kind of off the wall for a few years now.
Absolutely. Miami Dolphins at 13 here, Russell Clay. Quarterback is a need. When Ryan Fitzpatrick is your QB1, you got some problems. Is the future Dan Marino here at pick 13 in the first round of the 2019 NFL draft?
I don't think so, but I think this is a quarterback destination for sure. You know, they haven't really been linked to Daniel Jones or Drew Locke, but I think that could be a reasonable situation here if things come down to it. I mean, obviously they're rebuilding, so you could look secondary, maybe, you know, figure something out there. They already have a strength there, so maybe build it up and take another corner. But really, they should be doing best player available, in my opinion.
Another potential trading down, trading up possibly if they want to get one of the top end quarterbacks, maybe trade down just acquire more talent in Miami. A lot of directions to go. This team needs a major overhaul. They need offensive lineman help, both on an interior and a tackle. No question about that. They need an edge rusher. Problem with the edge is there's a definite drop off here. I think so far, what do we have? We have Sweat. We have Devin White off the board. And who else do we have? Josh Allen off the board, obviously, as well. Brian Burns is still there. Jalen Ferguson, DeAndre Walker, Bulldog right there. Any of these edge rushers excite you?
As you mentioned, a lot of these guys will be going early. I believe the over-under on sort of defensive linemen in the first is like 10. Hmm. So a lot of these guys are going to be going high. I'm not really sold on any of them.
So what do we do with Miami? So many places to go. This is an organization. We joked about the Cardinals earlier. I mean, the Miami Dolphins, if they want to bring in a Russell Clay and Jeff Mann's team to manage their draft, they probably would be better off.
Probably, yeah.
I feel like they would be. So if it is up to us, what direction are we going to go with Miami? How would you build this team, given the set of flies you have?
I think we have to go the end, even though, you know, I just said I'm not interested, but it just seems like that's the way we're going. I mean, Cleveland Farrell kind of guy.
Ooh, okay.
Something like that.
Not bad. Cleveland Farrell from Clemson played in big games, went after, got a lot of stiff competition down in the SEC, a lot of great offensive lines he went to. Well, I like that. That's an interesting one. Let's do that. Let's go with Cleveland Farrell for the Miami Dolphins and giving them a defensive end / edge rusher to get to the quarterback. Need to do that in this day and age. And Miami, like Jets and Bills, need to figure out a way to get to Tom Brady and disrupt him. When you hit Tom Brady, he doesn't like that. He yells at his teammates. He yells at the refs. He yells at everyone. He does not like to be touched. So why that isn't the only thing on anybody's mind, I will never know. 14th pick in this draft is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Falcons have a lot going for them for a team with a high pick like number 14 overall. Not really a lot of offensive needs. They can use another offensive tackle, always in play there. They can use an edge rusher, defensive end combo. The problem with the Falcons last year was injuries, specifically to their secondary. Just everybody got broken down. So, getting guys like Trufant, Keanu Neal, getting those guys back will go a long way to improving that. They could use a corner here too, though. What do you think is the biggest need for Atlanta?
Yeah, that opening week was devastating for them last year. Deion Jones.
Yes.
Basically. Yep. I mean, he played a few more weeks and came back, but he got majorly hurt. And then Neal, on that
first. Well, Grady Jarrett went down. Because then it became you couldn't stop them. They couldn't – first they couldn't cover. Then they couldn't rush the passer. Then they couldn't stop the run. Other than that, Miss Lincoln, how was the play? It was
right.
A disaster. But getting these guys back – and re-signing, putting the tag on Grady Jarrett is going to help, obviously, stop the run, too. Vic Beasley there, Deion Jones that you mentioned. So there's some talent on this defensive side. It still feels, though, that they will go defense with this pick.
I agree. So they took Isaiah Oliver last year in the second round, but this is where I would take Greedy. I kind of love that spot for him. Slots in next to Trufant and Keanu Neal as the hammer. I think that could really set them up. And I mean, that division is just so brutal for defenses. If they can slow down, you know, the Saints, having that type of secondary would be the way to do it.
Grady Williams, guy with blazing speed. He's got the body, but he's really, really slender. It's great that he's, because he's got long arms, he's got big hands. You like to see that from your corners, especially when you got to go up against, you know, bigger, stronger, big-bodied wide receivers. He can add the weight. He can add the strength a little bit. One thing you can't really add is that kind of speed. So I like this one, this pick as well. I think that it'd go a long way to helping the secondary. By the way, Dan Quinn going to be his own defense coordinator. We know Dan Quinn, king of developing corners and safeties back as they Seattle, has done it here in Atlanta, and it's going to be in a hands-on approach here too. So I like that selection. I think that's a very likely scenario with Greedy Williams of LSU going to the Atlanta Falcons. So let's lock that one down. We'll move on to Washington, and they've got Alex Smith, who will be out who knows how long. They trade for Case Keenum, stopgap guy. A lot of thoughts that they're going to be entertaining a quarterback. If you're Washington, can you choose a quarterback? Because, I mean, you have Smith. We don't know. He won't play this year. But then you get Case Keenum. Can you really bring in another guy, or can you – what do you think?
If I'm Washington, I'm standing up, I'm walking over to the Xbox, and I'm pressing reset, and yes. I'm starting this franchise over again, because yes. This is just an absolute.
Would you use the Redskins moniker, or would you change that up too? If you reset, you might as well.
Yeah, no, we'll keep the Redskins.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. But
just, we need to run it again. So just
run it over.
Yeah.
Quarterback, receiver, edge. Offensive, yeah. Interior offensive line, they could use another corner here as well. There's a lot of needs, man. How would you restart this?
This is the first spot where I actually do feel like a receiver could go. I don't know if the wide receivers have sort of the juice to get this high, but if a DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, or N'Keal Harry – we're sort of going to go in this range, I think it would be here.
I like N'Keal Harry a great deal. Really, really like him. We talk about guys who can go up and get it, and we talk about the big body guys and all of it, the leaping ability, the long arms. This is a guy I just see having a Mike Evans-like impact. You know, where he can make up for an inaccurate quarterback and make up for put the pressure, open up running lanes by running deep routes and having get the safety over the top of him just in case type of thing. I like DK Metcalf, obviously a great deal as well. Metcalf versus Harry. Your analysis between these two here, Russell Clay.
I would take Harry. I just think everything about him is special. He reminds me of Dez Bryant. I see a lot of the similar skills used on special teams, used in the run game. They tried to get him the ball as much as they could, suffered through a really bad quarterback situation.
Terrible.
And, yeah. You know, when they did throw deep passes, he was the only one that they were completing them to. So I thought his career at Arizona State was really special. And then, you know, the combine really shocked a lot of people because he ended up testing out well. I'm worried about Metcalf for the injuries. Beyond that, interesting guy.
What else worries you about DK Metcalf? Because this, I mean, every – when you look at combine numbers, all that just out of control, amazing. He's Calvin Johnson for the lack of, you know, for comparable athlete, at least at that position. But I think there's a lot of concern that he's not necessarily a football player. We're, you know, running the right routes, consistent hands, catching the ball the right way with his hands, not his body has been a problem for him at times too. What's the most concerning thing about Metcalf to you?
I kind of hit on injuries, but two major injuries is like he was never healthy in his college career. He was for about six games in his final season, but beyond that, his whole sophomore season, he was technically redshirt freshman, but he was working back from a major injury, and then he had another one, you know, at the end of 2018. So that's my big concern with him. Beyond that, I'm not worried about the agility stuff. He's such, you mentioned the athleticism is just bonkers. So he'll be fine in that sense. I think he's going to be trouble for a lot of corners. I just don't see how some of these corners are going to stick with him, both from a speed and size standpoint. So I like him. I just don't know how long he's going to be around.
Washington Redskins, which direction are you looking then? I mean, do they pull the trigger on one of these quarterbacks? Is it time to break the seal on the wide receivers and give Case Keenum a threat down the field to try to move the offense? Do they go edge rusher here, which every team needs, including these Skins?
I think they go offense here. So I think it's either quarterback or wide receiver. And I kind of lean quarterback here.
I think they're going to do the QB thing.
Yeah.
There's been some Daniel Jones. I believe he's local, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So there's like that thread going on, people talking him up that they made like a Daniel Jones here, but obviously in our board, Drew Lock is still there. Can you pass up Drew Lock to go Daniel Jones? Is it that tight between the two for you?
No, I would go Lock. I would go Lock. And I know we're going to battle over that one, but it just seems like Lock would be the fit. I'm of the opinion Alex Smith injury was pretty much career ending.
Yeah.
I know they're kind of cautiously optimistic he can make a comeback, but man, that type of injury in your mid 30s, I just think it's kind of done. So I would go Drew Lock here.
Now I won't fight you. I would fight you if we were working for the Washington Redskins and we were trying to decide on which one of these guys. I may argue, but I can't deny Daniel Snyder. The Redskins like to do flashy things.
Yep.
A lot of things that, you know, I don't know how much he listens to his football people. I don't know how much those football people are in control, although some really quality assistant coaches have rolled through Washington under Jay Gruden. So I got to give credit where credit is due. I think Drew Lock would be the pick. If they're going quarterback, I think they would choose Lock over Daniel Jones, but there is that sort of hometown thing with Jones maybe. But I have no problem putting him on the Washington Redskins. There you go, Redskins fans. You should be happy with us. You get your quarterback here at pick 15. That doesn't happen all the time like that. Our final pick of this podcast, Russell Clay, will be the Carolina Panthers at 16, 7-9 a year ago. They have their quarterback, and Cam Newton should his shoulder hold up because that shoulder injury destroyed the offense for Carolina for sure. So there's a need at wide receiver. Lose Devin Funchess a year ago. They have DJ Moore. They brought in the first round. Edge rusher, you know, losing Julius Peppers, losing Thomas Davis. There's definitely some defensive concerns here for Ron Rivera and his team.
Certainly. I think we're definitely looking defense here. They really couldn't rush the passer or stop anyone. You do have to wonder how much their total numbers were because of that division, but yeah, it was a really ugly defensive year. Brian Burns is an interesting guy in this spot that has kind of been thrown out there, but I also think offensive line is an interesting spot to go here.
Inside, losing Norwell a year ago, I thought the Norwell loss would be more catastrophic than it turned out to be. I really did. And keeping Darrell Williams has helped, really helps we'll see if Taylor Moton is a bona fide left tackle. I have my thoughts. The left side of that line is pretty brutal in its own. But I look at this. You talked about it earlier in the show, Russ, is there's a lot of offense in this division, and they're going to have to stop quite a bit of offense. And I feel like Ron Rivera and Eric Washington realize that. I'd have a tough time passing up some guys who can get to the passer, whether it's Brian Burns, Jalen Ferguson, or we're talking about a guy like LJ Collier, Zach Allen. I mean, there's some guys out there in the defensive line that can get the job done. Which one of these has your endorsement?
Yeah, I think Brian Burns is an interesting guy. He on a weird Florida State team, he was kind of one of the few shining moments for them. So I kind of like what he brings to the table. And, yeah, if he can get a little pressure for them, I think that can make a big difference.
And remember, we had Cleveland Farrell going three picks higher to the Miami Dolphins. So that would be a really good fit and probably somebody that the Panthers are hoping for, quite honestly, that would slip. But should he not be there? Brian Burns setting the edge, not a bad little guy who could play with his hand in the dirt and play upright as well, obviously. So let's go Brian Burns for the Carolina Panthers, and that takes us to pick 17, which just so happens to be the New York Giants again, and just so happens to be, you'll have to wait to part two of the Fantasy Football Elite NFL Draft Special Podcast. I am with Russell Clay. My name is Jeff Manns, fantasyguru.com. All of our NFL draft coverage is live over at fantasyguru.com. Check it out. No matter when you're listening to this, Russ Clay, how do people get in touch with you if they want to ask you draft questions, my man?
Follow me on Twitter at Russell J. Clay. If you're a sub, definitely hop into the chat. We're always talking fantasy in the Fantasy Guru chat. And I've been putting out quite a bit of content for the off season. So definitely check out all my rookie and, you know, college prospect stuff.
All the stuff. I will have one of the things I love to do, and I do it every, if you're new to the site or new to the show or new to us, I like putting out all my trends columns and things. I talk about what different teams have done in the past. I talk about what the breakdowns have been in recent years. Talk about how teams were built, some of those Rams and Patriots, and where they have gone in the early rounds, and sort of see, you know, look around the NFL and discuss, well, what are the trends? You know, a couple of years ago, it was 5, 4, 6, 3, 5 amount of running backs taken in the first round. Now you look at it these days, 1, 1, 2, 3, 1. Times change, and we'll have the trends over there at Fantasy Guru as well. Remember to check out our second part of this NFL mock draft. We have that live on the site right now as well, so check it out. For Russell Clay, this is Jeff Manns, Fantasy Football Elite. See you in part two, everybody.